Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Roll call for Wednesday, February the 21st. Anderson?
Here.
Allman?
Here.
Barrasso?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
DeCaria?
Here.
Beck?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hassert?
Here.
Hines?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Joe?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Larson?
Here.
Massey?
Here.
Meyer?
Mockler,
Nicholas,
here.
Peck excused, Perkins,
here.
Peterson, Ross,
here.
Scott,
here.
Sessions,
here.
Townsend,
here.
Vasey,
here.
Von Slater,
here.
President Schiffer,
here.
Peterson,
excused,
28 present and 2 excused.
Prayer by Reverend Oliver. Reading, correction, and approval of the journal. Would the reading clerk please read the journal report?
Turn that on. Let me start over. Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 20th, 2007, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Perkins, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the Journal Committee report is approved. Members of the Senate, our doctor for today is Dr. Tom Radasevich from Casper. Doctor, welcome. Thank you for coming down and taking care of us. Appreciate it. With all the conference committees we have out, Doctor, I hope you're good at sticking up wounds and things like that. Our thought for the day, be brave. Even if you're not, pretend to be. No one can tell the difference anyway. Concurrences. Senator Mackey, are you ready on Senate File 60? Would the reading clerk please read in the message 369 on Senate File 60, State Park Site Interpretation.
February the 13th, 2007, from the House of Representatives, message number 369, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 60, State Parks Site Interpretation. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 48, noes 12. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move concurrence of message number 369 to Senate File 60 and ask the body to please vote no. The bill that left here from the Senate contains $1.7 million of one-time expenditures for the interpretation of our historic sites and state parks around the state of Wyoming. In addition to some money for a full-time person and some part-time seasonal individuals. The bill came back from the House with all that money out. And so there's no money in the bill. And frankly, there's really no point in passing it on to the governor, even if we thought that there was something we'd concur with here in the bill. The language that folks see on their message is just simply taking the money out of the bill and putting the language to conform to stripping those funds out. So I would like the opportunity, Mr. President, to go down and talk with a committee from the House and see if there's any opportunity to compromise and put some funding in here for this worthwhile cause.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 60, State Park Site Interpretation, and the chairman of the conference committee is asking you to vote no. Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Almond? Barrasso? Burns? Case? Coe? Cooper? Zakaria? Beck? Geist? Hester? Hines? Jennings? Joe? Johnson? Larson? Massey? Meyer? Moffler? Nicholas? Peck excused? Perkins? Peterson? Ross? Scott? Sessions? Thompson? Vasey? Von Slater? President Schiffer?
No.
Meyer? Meyer, excuse. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 28 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 50, State Parks Site Interpretation. House message number 398 on Senate File 40, Board of Agriculture. Would the reading clerk please read in the report?
February the 20th, 2007, from the House of Representatives. Message number 398, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File number 40, Board of Agriculture. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Geist.
Mr. President, message 398, Senate File 40. I move that we do concur on Senate File 40, and I'd ask you to vote no. What the House did is they went back and put the salaries in the same as the legislators. Well, we had it at $75, so I think we need to have a conference committee and go through and work out the difference on that. And I'd ask you to vote no.
The motion is that we do concur on Senate File 40, Board of Agriculture, and the chairman asks you to vote no. Would the assistant chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Almond? Barrasso, Burns, Case? Coe? Cooper? DeCaria? Beck? Geis? Hastert? Hines? Jennings? Job? Johnson? Larson? Massey? Meyer? Mockler? Nicholas? Peck excused. Perkins? Peterson? Ross? Scott? Sessions? Townsend? Vasey? Von Platern? President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 no's, 1 excused.
By your vote, you failed to concur with the House and Senate File 40, Board of Agriculture. Message number 402, Senate File 54, Nursery Stock. Yeah, Senate File 54, Nursery Stock. Would the reading clerk please read in the message?
February the 20th, 2007, from the House of Representatives, message number 402, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 64, Nursery Stock. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, no, 0, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Geis. Mr. President, message 402, the Senate File 64, Nursery Stock. I move that we do concur on Senate File 64. And all these different things in here kind of go along with the seed law we passed and signed into law, and I talked to the Commissioner of Agriculture, and they felt all this was okay with them. I don't understand it because I'm not a plant expert. If you guys are plant experts, why then you can get up and tell me where I'm wrong on this. So I'd ask you to vote aye on Senate File 64. The motion is that the Senate do concur in the message number 402, Senate File 64, Nursery Stock, and the chairman is asking you to vote aye. Senator Scott, sorry.
Mr. President, I don't quite know how to handle this. We've got a lengthy message here. I have no idea what I'm voting on, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. I don't have no idea what's in it, and I think we need a little more explanation as to what the House really did in order to vote halfway intelligently on this. I'm in the position where I've got to vote no because it's simply, you can't tell what it is.
Senator Geis.
Most of this language came from the representative over there who's been in the business for 30 years. Some of this is talking about the white fly that comes in with imported plants and all those things. And the Department of Agriculture, they count the number of flies to see whether they're allowed to come in or not, and all this stuff. I don't understand all this stuff, and I don't even claim to be an expert on it. The representative over there who's been in the business for 30 years, and the Commissioner of Agriculture said that they agreed with all the amendments in this bill, and that's all I can tell you.
Further discussion? Motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 64, Nursery Stock, and the chairman asks you to vote aye. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Almond. Brasso. Burns. Case. Coe. Cooper. DeCaria. Beck. Rice. Hestert. Hines. Jennings. Job. Johnson. Larson. Massey. Meyer. Mockler. Nicholas. Peck excused. Perkins. Peterson. Ross. Scott. Sessions. Thompson. Vasey. Von Slaters. President Schiffer.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 21 ayes, 8 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 64, and this is done. Message number 408, Senate File 114, Air Services Financial Aid. Would the reading clerk please read in the report?
February the 20th, 2007, from the House of Representatives, message number 408. Concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File number 114, Air Services Financial Aid. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Cole.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do concur on message number 408 being original Senate File 114, Air Services Financial Aid. This is the bill that talks about the Air Service Enhancement Program, how the funds can be extended by the Aeronautics Commission. Page 2015, we don't like the word any. I don't think it's any big deal. I'd ask that you vote aye on message number 408. It doesn't change the intent of the bill.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 114, Air Services Financial Aid, and the chairman is asking you to vote aye. Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson. Aye. Almond. Brasso. Aye. Burns. No. Case. No. Coe. Aye. Cooper. Aye. DeCaria. Aye. Beck. Geis. Hastert. Hines. Jennings. Aye. Job. Johnson.
Aye.
Larson.
No.
Massey. Meyer. Mockler. Nicholas. Peck excused. Perkins. Peterson. Ross. Scott. Sessions. Townsend. Vasey. Von Slaters. President Schiffer.
No.
Closing vote. Nicholas Eisenhow. Closing. Vote closed. 23 ayes, 6 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 114, Air Services Financial Aid. Mr. Vice President. Chair, please.
Townsend.
Yeah, I have privilege of the floor, please.
You may certainly have privilege.
Thank you.
Senate, I want you to help me in welcoming the Luff Middle School, who's in the balcony up here, and their teacher is Gary Trout, and I think there's a drama scare up there. So, welcome to the Senate.
Welcome, students.
Senator Schiffer, Mr. President, are you ready for message number 401, Senate file number 54? Reading clerk, please read in the message.
February the 20th, 2007, from the House of Representatives, message number 401, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 54, Drug Court Steering Committee. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 59, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President, I would move concurrence on Senate File 54, Drug Court Steering Committee, and ask the Senate to vote no. Mr. Vice President, the House did some very constructive things. This is a management audit bill looking at the drug court, trying to get some sort of feel on the effectiveness of drug courts and standardizing procedures taking a look at that. It is an area that one of the best areas we have, I believe, in substance abuse in the state. And they added a county or a prosecuting attorney. I think that's a good addition. And a member of the bar who practices criminal defense. I think that is very constructive. But then they kind of lost their way a little bit over on page 5. The House added, and by the way, the initial appropriation for this was $10,000 for the study. And then the House added another $1.2 million, which, my initial reaction was I want to be part of that study so we can buy an airplane, but I don't think that's what they had in mind. It is funding for substance abuse. Mr. Vice President, a couple of comments on that. First and foremost, I think it's unconstitutional. I do not believe that an appropriation for substance abuse fits within the title of this bill. Mr. Vice President will recall, every bill has one subject, and you cannot amend in something that does not fit within the title of the bill. The second thing is, I'm not really too sure drug courts are funded, substance abuse is funded. I'm not sure where the $1.2 million goes to, so maybe we need to visit with those folks and see what they have in mind, so I would ask you to vote no.
Any further discussion? The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 50 and ask you to vote no. Chief Clerk will please call the roll. Senate File 54. I'm sorry.
Anderson?
No.
Allman? Barrasso? Burns? Case? Coe? Cooper? Vicaria? Beck? Geis? Custard? Hines? Jennings? Joe? Johnson? Larson? Massey? Meyer? Mockler? Nicholas? Peck excused? Perkins? Peterson? Ross? Scott? Sessions? Thompson? Basie? Von Slatern? President Schiffer? Closing vote? Closing? Vote closed. 1 aye, 28 noes, 1 excuse.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 54.
Message number 400 on Senate File 50, illegal taking of game with firearms. Senator Case, are you ready?
Yes, I am, Mr. President.
Would the reading clerk please read in the House message?
February the 20th, 2007, from the House of Representatives, message number 400, Concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file number 50, illegal taking of game with firearm. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 56, noes 3, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benson, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Chase.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move message number 400, concurrence requested on Senate file 50, and ask the Senate to vote no. Mr. President, if you recall, this was the bill that allowed people participating in an archery hunting season to possess a firearm. Mr. President, the House made some good changes to this bill. In part, they clarified that it's archery season that we're talking about. They put some good language in there. But if you recall, when this bill was drafted and as it left the Senate, it had a 5-year mandatory revocation of a license if you violate this section. The House removed that mandatory revocation of the license. Some of you may have an issue about mandatory penalties, I suppose, but when I proposed this bill to the Gating Fish, I proposed a strong penalty. It was sort of an agreement that they have been very hesitant to allow for archers to carry firearms, and this is a kind of a sea change for them to agree to this bill. And thankfully, my word was on the line that I would bring a bill that had the mandatory minimum. So I ask that we go back to the House and try to get a mandatory revocation of a license. So I'm asking the Senate to vote no.
Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. President, I urge the body to vote aye. I think if you look on page 2, you'll see that the old language in there provides that the courts can, in fact, do this if they want. We go down there in the bottom and make this mandatory. I think we should leave it up to the discretion of the courts on this issue. I urge that the body vote aye.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you very much. Mr. President, it is absolutely true. There is discretion for the courts to have up to a six-year penalty, as I understand it, revocation. And the issue is my word, I guess, it comes down to. I proposed a bill with the mandatory minimum to answer concerns of the Game and Fish. So it's my bill, and I think we ought to go talk to them about it again, but I understand.
Further discussion? The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 50, illegal taking of game with firearms, and the chairman asks the Senate to vote no. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Aye. Allman? Barrasso? Aye. Burns? Case? Aye. Coe? Aye. Cooper? Aye. Zakaria? No. Beck?
No.
Geist?
No.
Pastors?
No.
Hines? Jennings?
Aye.
Doe?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Peck, excuse, Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Vasey?
No.
Von Flatering?
No.
President Schiffer?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed, 15 ayes, 14 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 50, illegal taking of game.
Mr.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, the vote was 15 ayes.
15, 14, and 1, yes.
Mr. President, as I read the Constitution, I think it requires the majority of members elected.
So it requires 16. I stand corrected. Thank you, Senator Scott. Okay. Thank you. By your vote, you have failed to concur in Senate File 50, illegal taking of game with firearms. House message number 417, Senate file 133, Community Colleges Task Force Planning Study. Senator Coe, are you ready? Would the reading clerk please read in the message?
February the 20th, 2007, from the House of Representatives. Message number 417, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate file number 133, Community Colleges Task Force Planning Study. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, noes 1, excused 1. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Coe.
Mr. President, I would move that the Senate do concur on message number 417, be an original Senate file 133, and ask the body to vote no. Members of the Senate, this is the Community College's Working Group Planning Study. The House has been very active over there. They've turned it into an extremely large working group task force. What they've done at the bottom there, you'll see they've gone from 9 to 10. They've considered a member of the Wyoming Community College Commission and a member of Brooklyn University of Wyoming Administration. They then go in and they started putting a whole bunch of new legislators into this process. Now, where did it go last year? We had determined that Senate File 133 would have a look at the role of community colleges from the outside looking in, not the inside looking out. They've added 4 additional members from the Senate, 5 additional members from the House of Representatives. They've created, rather than a task force, they now have it as a select committee. They then go over here on the last page, you'll see that they changed the appropriation that we deleted with the $10,000 that took out the legislators cost and inserted $100,000 to cover all the new legislators they put in. And then, with the last amendment on page 3, line 12 for governance, they insert a mechanism to determine the feasibility of college expansion into 4-year degree programs. Bunch of major changes. They've done some serious damage to a good bill when it left here. Urge the body to vote no, and let's go talk to them.
The question is on Senate File 133, Community Colleges Task Force Planning Study. Will the Senate concur? The chairman asks the Senate to vote no. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Almond, Barrasso, Burns, Pace, Coe, Cooper, DeCaria, Beck, Geis, Pastors, Hines, Jennings, Job, Johnson, Larson, Massey, Meyer, Mosler, Nicholas, Tech Excuse, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Scott, Sessions, Thompson, Vasey, Von Schleicher, President Schiffer?
No.
Closing votes? Closing. Vote closed. 29 no's, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have failed to concur on Senate File 133. Community Colleges Task Force Planning Study. House message number 404 on Senate File 70, Dispensing Rooms Minors. Senator Ross, are you ready?
I am, Mr. President.
Would the reading clerk please read in the House message?
February 20th, 2007, from the House of Representatives, message number 404, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File 70, Dispensing Rooms Minors. The Senate file listed above passed on a third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1. House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move message number 404. Concurrence request to Senate File 70, Dispensing Room Minors, and ask the body to vote aye. Ladies and gentlemen, basically with the the Senate did, or the House did, was take out, inserted a period on line 13 on page 2 of the bill, and just took out the language for immediate consumption within a dispensing room. My understanding is that the liquor division is okay with it. Your retailers are okay with it. It just kind of cleans up a little language of probably superfluous. And so everybody seems to be fine with the bill as it is now, and I would urge your favorable consideration.
What's your case?
Because I'm only 18 years old, I had a conflict on this bill. Actually, I have a liquor license, so I would like to go on for the government.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 70, dispensing rooms minor, and the chairman asks you to vote aye. Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Hallman? Barrasso?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper? DeCaria, Beck, Geist, Haskert, Hines, Jennings, Joe, Johnson, Larson, Massey, Meyer, Mockler, Nicholas, Peck excused, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Scott, Sessions, Townsend, Vasey, Von Flatern, President Schiffer.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 27 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused, and 1 conflict.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 70, dispensing room minors. House message number 412 on Senate File 139, real estate agent, errors and omissions insurance. Senator Barrasso, are you ready?
Yes, Mr. President.
Would the reading clerk please read in the House message?
February the 20th, 2007, from the House of Representatives, message number 412. Concurrence requested, Mr. President. Senate File number 139, real estate agents, errors and omissions insurance. The Senate file listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1. House respectfully asks Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendment. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Barrasso.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate do concur on message 412 and Senate file 139 and ask the Senate to vote aye. The small amendment brought by the House basically deals with a maximum amount of premium for this insurance, and they just put in an inflation adjuster so we didn't have to come back in 10 or 15 years to change the bill. So with that, Mr. President, I'd recommend my vote.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on the concurrence request for Senate File 139, and the chairman is asking the Senate to vote aye. Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Almond, Barrasso,
aye.
Burns,
aye.
Case,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
DeCaria,
aye.
Beck,
aye.
Geist,
aye.
Haskert,
aye.
Hines, Jennings,
aye.
Joe,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Mockler,
aye.
Nicholas, Peck excused, Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Scott,
no.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Vasey,
no.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Schiffer,
aye.
Closing vote, closing, votes closed, 25 ayes, 4 noes, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 139, real estate agents, errors, and omissions. Reports from standing committees.
February the 20th, 2007, Mr. President, to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 85, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Job, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 20th, 2007, Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 204, engrossed, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Job, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 21st, 2007, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 22, engrossed, reports back with the recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, DeCaria, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman. House Bill 1, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, Standing Committee Report, your Committee Number 2 on Appropriations, has reviewed House Bill 1, pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1, little e, 1 and 2. The following lists are provided. Senator Nicholas, Chairman. February the 21st, 2007, Mr. President, your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 250, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, DeCaria, Perkins, Ross, and Sessions, Senator Ross, Chairman.
Pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1, subparagraph F1, House Bill 1 shall be placed on third reading. Senators, that's so we can walk through the bill, the amendments that the House put on, and then take it directly to a joint conference committee. Senator Nicholas.
Do you want to do that at the beginning or the end of third reading? That's what it's meant.
It's the only thing we've got on.
I guess that it doesn't make a difference if you put it at the beginning or the end.
Senator Nicholas will sort that out as we go, but it'll fall somewhere in third reading. Bills on second reading. House Bill 6, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 6, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, State Fire Marshal Coordination.
House Bill 6, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time, hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 69, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 69, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Uniform Trust Code Amendments.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
The floor is yours, sir.
Mr. President, we have a group visiting us in the gallery from the Roosevelt High School in Casper with their teacher, Michelle Nicole. I ask the Senate to make them welcome.
Welcome, students. Enjoy your day at the Capitol. House Bill 69, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time, hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 94, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 94, sponsored by the Revenue Committee, Veterans Property Tax Exemption.
We do have some amendments. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 94, the Burns Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 94, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 2, line 14.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 94 and ask that we dispense with further reading. Mr. President, during discussion of committee on the whole on this bill, the question came up as to whether or not the widow of the current law stands now, widow, would have to have been married to the deceased at the time of their service in the military. This clears that up and basically says that they have to have been married to them at the date of discharge or upon their death in the service.
Further discussion? The question is, on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 90. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, is it the way it's worded on date of discharge, and that or death, does that specify, how does that specify? Maybe I'm missing something here that's in the bill and not in the amendment. I would like a little further explanation on that. Make sure it's not doing things that the sponsor doesn't intend.
Further discussions before the sponsor takes his second shot? Further discussion? Senator Burns.
Yes, Mr. President, I
Senator Burns. Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Clarification again. If this does what I think it does, I would urge you to vote against it. You'll get an opportunity to understand that. But if you were to be discharged 40, 50 years ago, your spouse at that sometime in that interim died, you remarried, as I read, if you would not qualify. You could have been married that spouse for 40 years. That you wouldn't qualify as I read this. If that's what it does, I would urge you to vote against it. What you're saying is only that spouse who was married to before the person was discharged or died would be the only one qualified. That could have been 30, 40, 50 years ago. So if that is the intent of it, I would urge you to vote no.
Further discussion? Further discussion? Senator Burns.
Mr. President, as to the good senator from Natrona County's concern, I raised that same concern when I read this amendment, and the LSO assured me that because at state of death, you automatically become a widow or a widower. And so the way I initially read it, any widow or widower would have qualified. But because of its placement within this particular statute, it only, LSO assures me, it only pertained to if they had died while in the service. As to the senator from Teton County, if I understand the question correctly, if the member of the military died in the service, let's say in Korea 50 years ago, and his widow then remarried in, let's say, 1960, I don't know why she would want to qualify for why she should qualify for this. What this is aimed at is if somebody was in the military, let's say in Korea, and didn't get married until 1960 and then dies in 1998, she does not qualify because she was not married to him while he was in the service during that conflict. That's what this bill does. That's what this amendment does. And, Mr. Chairman, the reason I brought this up, it reminded me of a case I read about 8 years ago now, where there was a widow in Alabama who was still getting survivor benefits from a Civil War veteran. She had married an 84-year-old Confederate veteran when she was 14. And she was getting, I think, $198 a month or something like that. And the state of Alabama was going to cut her off. No, it wasn't Anna Nicole. they cut the payments up out of sentimentality, but the fact of the matter is she had as much to do with the Civil War as I do. And hopefully she's deceased by now. Otherwise, it would be 108 or something. But That's what this amendment is trying to avoid, is our where you've got a veteran who marries later in life, long after the service. Then when he passes away, the widow gets the benefit of the tax exemption that she had nothing to do with at the time. Now, the veteran got that exemption throughout his life. But just by benefit of marrying this guy, she did not have to put up with any of the angst or concern while he was away at service. And that's what this amendment is aimed at, Mr. President.
The question is, on second reading amendment number one, the House. Senator Moffitt.
And I apologize, I was off the floor. I just want to clarify one thing on this amendment, and that is that there are VA restrictions on what is a surviving spouse and how all this works. So I think that this is something we need to go get clarified and make sure that we're in conformity with what is a surviving spouse under the Veterans Administration, and then come back and look at it on third reading.
Senator Johnson.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Boy, I don't know whether to declare a conflict on this or talk against it or whatever. I got honorably discharged in 1964 and didn't get married till 1973. So my understanding is this says that my wife gets no benefits. I, as a veteran, and hearing another veteran asking you to vote no on this bill, I would definitely ask you to vote no on this amendment. Many of us waited till we got out of harm's way to get married just so we wouldn't put somebody through that hand. We were just too young, much too young. So please defeat this amendment.
Further discussion? Question is, on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 94, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Second reading amendment number one to House Bill 94 has failed to pass. Senator Townsend.
May I have the privilege of the floor?
The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you. I think I have my second group from the Luff Middle School up here. And I don't recognize them, and I apologize for that, but I want the Senate to recognize our second group of Luff Middle School students.
Welcome, students. It's good to see you. Second reading amendment number two to House Bill 94, the Nicholas Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 94, second reading amendment number two to engross copy, page one, line four.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. This read a little bit more than I had anticipated, so I would respectfully withdraw it, and I'll correct it for third reading.
Barring objection, second reading amendment number two is withdrawn. We are back on the bill, House Bill 94, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. House Bill 124, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 124, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, Eminent Domain 2.
We do have some amendments. Second reading amendment number one, to House Bill 124, the Nicholas Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
House Bill 124, second reading amendment number one to engrossed copy, page 12, line 15.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 124. Ladies and gentlemen, this goes to page 12, lines 15 and 16 that now say the value determined by appraisal of the property performed by a certified appraiser. My concern about that is that there's no standard by which you're going to judge the results of the certified appraiser. The assumption is that simply having a certified appraiser means that your appraisal is going to be okay. All I've done to address that issue is does the value determined using generally accepted appraisal techniques performed by certified appraisers. So when you go out and hire your appraiser, you do expect them to use certified appraiser techniques, and folks, that doesn't always happen. So we now have, by adoption of this, a better standard by which to judge the results of the appraisal.
Further discussion? The question is, on second reading, amendment number one, to House Bill 124, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. That amendment, second reading amendment number one, to House Bill 124 does pass. The next amendment is second reading amendment number two to House Bill 124, the Scott-Geist-Vakey amendment. Would the reading clerk please read the amendment?
House Bill 124, second reading amendment number two to engrossed copy, page 12, line 20.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment, and Mr. President, I ask the ayes and nays. Mr. President, what this amendment does is it goes into the section 704 on page 12, and it deals strictly with the issue of whether we're going to accept as comparables properties where the buyer has had the power of eminent domain to compel the sale. And the bill as it stands before us right now, I think, takes a novel approach in looking at those as comparable sales. Mr. President, they aren't the arm's length transactions that we typically use. They're ones where the seller has no choice about selling. And I think it's a mistake to depart from that standard and to allow those things in, because the historic standard has been you when you're trying to establish what the fair market value of the property is, you look at sales where there is independence, where the buyer is informed and willing, and where the seller is informed and willing. And wherever you've got a buyer with the power of eminent domain, you don't have that, because the seller may be very unwilling and have no choice in the matter. And I think that's a mistake. It's a portion, Mr. President, of the whole dispute we had yesterday, but this avoids all the arguments we had about the privacy issues. We leave that part of the section intact, and this says, what are we going to allow in for comparable? You can see it's adding two provisions to make sure that we just deal with comparables coming in where the buyer does not have an eminent domain power, and we eliminate the provision Mount State by the condemnor for other portions of proposed project comparable size and location, because we know in those that the condemnor has that power. It adheres much more to our traditional way of calculating fair market value. Frankly, I think that if we adopt this amendment, we'll have a much better chance of getting negotiated agreement that is successful, that avoid all the expenses that you get into with litigation, because I think you won't have some of the incentives to keep the offers down, so as to avoid ratcheting up what might have to be paid in the future, and we won't get into something where we have a self-fulfilling spiral one way or another with these less than arm's length sales. And for all those reasons, I would urge the Senate to adopt this amendment.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment. When in these situations will you have a willing buyer and a willing seller? We're talking about none of these situations that we're talking about in this bill. Is there a willing buyer and a willing seller out in the free marketplace just out there negotiating? Here, I'll sell you this, and you can have an easement across my land. In each and every one of those cases, there is a unwilling seller. They don't have any choice in the matter. Company comes in and says, we're going to do this. We want to acquire this property across your line. It's right through your meadow. And I think there is an unintended consequence of this. If, in fact, we're talking about just arm's length transactions out in the free market, the fact of the matter is I would suspect that the prices would be higher in that situation. It's just a free market situation. But this isn't a free market. The other thing is that I think you have to go back and then look at the good faith negotiation process in this thing. In the good faith negotiation process, in the written notice, we require that in that initial written notice that there be an estimate of the fair market value. So what we're talking about is that they should write up front, be giving the seller some comparables about what they've done. Actually, that steers the whole thing away from litigation. When everybody has all the chips out on the table, we know what they're offering, what they've done in other situations. When everybody has all the information, as previously discussed yesterday. So, if what you're going to do is say, let's close this off, what you've done is you've protected the private land owners and their ability to at least have information to make an informed decision about what they're going to get for their lifelong endeavor in farming, ranching, or owning property. I submit to you that by doing this, you create a problem. I also want to talk about 126.702, because I think that comes into play when we're talking about the amendment on lines page 12, line 20, when you add that into paragraph B. Paragraph B in 702, when you're talking about, this is about easement, which is a partial taking. 126.702B says in the current statute that if there's a partial taking of the property, the measure of compensation is the greater value of the property rights taken or the amount by which the fair market value of the entire property immediately before the taking exceeds the fair market value of the remainder immediately after the taking. And I think that that section clears up a lot with regards to trying to amend paragraph B in this situation to say where there's a willing buyer and a willing seller. The fact of the matter is, I don't know when you find those situations, because in each and every one of these situations, the municipality, public entity, or private entity that's coming in wants this. It is not an arm's length transaction. It's not a free market. They have the power of eminent domain when they come in, and as part and parcel of the, when you go back and look at the negotiation portion of this bill in 509, so I urge you to reject this amendment.
Senator Nicholas. Thank you, Mr. President. And on and against the amendment for just a little bit different approach or treatment of it. Part of the reason for my putting in the language generally accepts appraisal techniques is that with generally accepts appraisal techniques, the appraiser has to take his comparables and he has to make adjustments. And one of the adjustments that the appraiser must make is an assessment and a determination of whether or not the property was condemned. If he knew the facts with respect to whether condemnation was simply threatened or not threatened, it makes a difference. But each of those, for those of you that had your home appraised, you know that the appraiser goes out, looks at another house,
he makes adjustments to it. He's required to make accommodations for sales and aberrations. Now, in this case, the simple fact that somebody had the power of eminent domain doesn't make the information irrelevant. It may be that the power was not exercised or threatened. You can see in first instances, people make or companies may come in and negotiate without threatening or exercising their power of domain, eminent domain, and under those conditions, that information is certainly relevant. And if you're from an appraiser's point of view, what are you going to do? You're going to collect all this information, then go interview people and find out, did you use the power of eminent domain? Was it threatened? So much of this this information is generated by entities who possess that power, whether they exert it or not. So the information has to be utilized. If you're just simply going to say, we're going to sweep out all that information so it can't be used, the appraiser is not left with the tools that he needs to complete his job. It's the appraiser's job to collect the information, make assessments, and make adjustments, and he'll do that. But you never go to an appraiser and say, by the way, I don't want you to consider any of the data out there. You're restricted, and all you can use is this information. You have to turn a blind eye to that. That's not the way appraisers work. The way appraisers work is you collect all the data. The more information that you have, the better you can make your adjustments or your assessment. You do have to make adjustments. The same as the analogy of the day with the computer-assisted math appraisal system. The reason it works the way it does is because it's a mass appraisal. It has a full bunch of data. The more data you get, the better your information is. So to suggest that the information shouldn't be at least considered is just, it won't get you to a good result. The point is, it should all be considered. The appraiser has to make adjustments as necessary. I urge you to be.
Further discussion? Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, I would actually request a division on this amendment. And the division I would propose would be lines 10 through 13 as division 1, and the remainder of the amendment as division 2.
Chair rules that it's divisible. Division 1 is lines 10 through 13 of second reading amendment number 2. We are on division 1. Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, the reason I request that and think that it may be of some assistance to the body today is that the division, with respect to Division 1, what that is doing is taking out, paragraph A? And the, paragraph B. Paragraph C. I'll keep going when I get to paragraph Z, I'm sorry. Paragraph C. And the reason why I think that may be appropriate is, particularly in light of the amendment we just approved, that we have a value determined by appraisal. Now that will be done in conformity with the typical professional appraiser type techniques. And when we do that, there's going to be, by definition, or typically, I think there's going to be a number of appraisals that are a number of comparables subject to those professional requirements and what an appraiser does when they go through and look at comparables. So it's going to be, typically, there are going to be at least two or three comparables that are going to be actually, that are going to come in through the back door when that appraisal is done. With paragraph C, the problem that I've always had with paragraph C is that we have this whole relevance issue that we talked about yesterday. Without going into that, I think that we now have the ability to have some appraisers come in that have at least some gatekeeper with respect to professional certification. If we get rid of the parts of C, I think we get rid of a lot of the fears that are out there that industry or may have with respect to this. Someone who has an artificially high comparable, and that a lot of property owners have that there may be imposed on artificially low comparable. And so we allow a gatekeeper to have that. And so I think that if we get rid of C, we may get rid of a lot of the issues related to that. And then, and so anyway, that's my comments on Division 1. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Nichols.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I, too, actually thought about the division, but I come back to the same analysis that I tried to advocate just shortly before. Folks, it is the appraiser's job to collect all the information and make adjustments. And to say that you cannot consider this information in your assessments makes their job even harder. Now, you take the circumstances where the guy's got 3 acres and the company comes in and says, you know, your space is, your property is so small, it just isn't worth hassling. We'll pay you $5,000 an acre for that property. Whereas if you had a longer stretch, they'd say, it's more important with you. We're going to take it down to a lower value. Appraisers are required to consider that. They're required to say, well, when you come through in a condemnation, the factors are different with respect to small tracts, large tracts, and several events. But that doesn't mean the appraiser shouldn't consider it or that you shouldn't have it. And you know, folks, the companies have access to all this, so they know exactly why they negotiated. All they've got to do is bring their employees as witnesses in and say, look, this is the reason why we paid that price. So that's an aberration. You need to take it out. So it's a simple thing to deal with, and having the information makes the process more fair. Anytime that you take the process, the information and say you're not going to consider, you're going to have a less fair process. So let the appraisers have it. Let them do the techniques. Now, if you want, I submit to you to put in a provision that says simply that appraisers are required to take into consideration these factors. That may address it, but to say that you can't consider it and apply your appraiser judgment to it is puts one party at a disadvantage. In instance, you don't know which party it is. Depends on which position you're trying to advocate.
Further discussion. Senator Perkins.
And I have a lot of respect for the senator from Albany County, and I just view this one a little bit differently. And the reason I do that is, if Division Number 1, if paragraph C is deleted, what it means is it's not in the bill. We haven't taken it out of the statute, simply not in the bill. And ultimately, there's going to be comparables that the appraisers are going to look at. And I think that once those comparables come in through any appraisal, then those appraisals are fair game. And certainly under the rules of evidence with regard to, because the appraisal is going to be an expert opinion. And under the rules of evidence, you're entitled to go in and look at the basis that expert makes it upon which he makes his opinion. And I believe that would include the comparables that each appraiser used. So I think that you still have the ability and the comparables will still be in. It's just simply now they're going to be confined, and you're going to have someone who knows what they're doing, or at least you hope they know what they're doing, because you're going to hopefully have a certified, reputable appraiser who's going to come in. He's going to have 2 or 3 or 4, however many comparables he's going to look at, and he's at least going to have an opinion that those are appropriate and comparable to what we're talking about. And so, but each side is going to have the ability to look at those particular comparables and to know how, to look at those and analyze how those were used in arriving at that appraiser expert's opinion. And so that's why I think the Division 1 is a good division. I think it, in some respect, kind of splits the blanket on some of these issues.
Senator Byrne.
One of the concerns I have, if you do remove this amendment, is I hear this talk that, well, you can use other comparables, or the phrase you can use other comparables. Well, my question is, what other comparables? We're talking about a very specialized piece of property here. You're talking about eminent domain for, in many cases, for an easement. Now, most other comparables to that would be out of date. They'd be a few years ago. I mean, easements just don't come along every day in your part of the country. That's why this is actually quite an important paragraph to keep in there, because you want to know what they're paying other people. And the idea of trying to keep this information
from the condemned me, just kind of, it doesn't, it's fixing my craw, it's not actually being the way it should be. Keep in mind, we're talking about not a willing buyer, not a willing seller. We're talking about somebody who is about to be condemned.
Further discussion? Mr. Vice President, would you take the chair?
You may, Senator Nicholas.
While the Senator is clearing his craw, or sticking his craw on, while the President's getting ready, ladies and gentlemen, I think the Snow Range Academy kids are there. Are they up there? All right. There we are. Would you welcome, please, the 7th and 9th grade classes from Snow Range Academy and their teacher, Tanner Hart.
Thank you.
Back on the amendment. Further discussion, Mr. President.
Mr. Vice President, I would urge the Senate to resist Division 1 of this amendment. And understand a couple things. Let me reiterate, the condemned law has all the figures that are mentioned in these two lines. He knows them all. The person getting condemned, they don't know. This is not a fair process. This is not a willing seller. But to say that we're going to deprive them of even more knowledge, it makes it even more unfair. When they come in and condemn, understand, it's not like horse trading. The pressure's on. And if I had to compare it to something, it's something like a steamroller coming through your place of business. And you need all of the information you can get, of which comparables on either that same action, be it a pipeline or a power line or a highway coming through. If you're the one that's getting deprived of your home and business, you need all the help you can get because it is patently an unfair process. We all understand that. As a property owner, I can live with that. But please don't deprive me of the information that can help me at least approach the value of a willing seller, willing buyer, without the coercion that eminent domain puts on one's home or one's business. I urge you to resist this amendment just in the interest of trying to move to what I consider making fairly as possible, what is a patently unfair process that deprives us of our property. I urge you to vote no.
Senator Scott. Well, Mr. Vice President, I urge you to vote aye when the roll is called because that's what we're seeking to do, is confine this to the circumstances where there's a willing buyer, willing seller. And use those values. And I hope the Senate was listening way back at the start of the debate to the good senator from Cheyenne, who I thought made a very good point with regard to how this works, because you've got to take 126.702 into consideration and look at what that's doing. Partial taking, measure of compensation, greater than value of property rights taken, or the amount by which the fair market value of the entire property before taking exceeds fair market value of the remainder immediately after taking. You're looking at fair market value of the property, and there's plenty of properties where there is a willing buyer and a willing seller and no coercion for both those measures. That's the normal buying and selling of property. And this business of dragging in what was paid under compulsion in other cases simply muddies the water of what is a very clear provision. And if we adopt this amendment, we'll be using that very clear provision with comparables where there was no coercion, where there was a willing buyer, a willing seller, and it worked just fine. I urge you to adopt the amendment.
Further discussion on Division 1 of this amendment. There's been a roll call requested, so we'll do the roll call on Division 1 of Second Reading Amendment Number 2 of House Bill 124, Division 1, Line 10 through 13. Clerk, will please call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Almond? Barrasso?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria? Beck? Dice?
Aye.
Pastert? Hines?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job? Johnson?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Peck, excused. Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Slatern?
Aye.
President Schiffer? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 15 ayes, 14 noes, 1 excused.
That division has passed the Senate Division 1. Let's take us back on the remainder of the amendment, Division 2. Any further discussion on the second division of that amendment? Further discussion? Mr.
President, you're not able to come to resist this amendment. What it does is it means that the condemnee is provided less information in what is already an unfair situation. There's no way that if you're being condemned, you can resist or even turn down. Particularly if you don't have the information to substantiate what you're asking for your land. I urge you to resist this amendment and vote no.
Continued discussion on this portion of the amendment, Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. Vice President, I believe all the arguments that apply to the first division apply to this division. And I come back and I ask myself, Mr. President, why was I lobbied by both the landowner and the business, the mineral interest? And I represent both. To fix it, to bring this amendment, to this section of the problem. And I've concluded the reason is twofold. One, it isn't fair to either party muddy the water with comparables that are obtained by coercion, where there wasn't a willing seller. When with the provision that we talked about in 126.702, you're going back to things where there are plenty of comparables. That's one factor. The other factor, I think, is that the third party in these. And that third party is the attorney. And by muddying the water the way the bill is written now without this amendment passed, I think what you're doing is increasing the take of that third party and at the expense of the other two, and I think they've realized that, and that's why they're together on this. So I urge just to adopt the amendment.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I would like to further divide the amendment. Get an exercise. Division 1 has already been voted on. Division 2 would be lines 3 through 9, or 3 through 8, and 14 through 15. Division 3, the last division, would be lines 17 through 20. Division 3 being dealing with discovery, the other division dealing with the appraisal process.
Do you believe that that's divisible?
And this is Vice President speaking to the Division 2 process. The it's a hard one, folks. The truth is that in the end, the appraiser has to make adjustments to make sure that his appraisal accomplishes an appraisal compared to a willing buyer and willing seller where there's no imminent domain being exercised or threatened. And I'll tell you, the appraisers coming through for the companies don't have very much of that information. And I can't think of any instances where somebody came and bought a piece of land inside somebody else's land, but that's what you have to be adjusted to. But I mean, the notion is that it does have to, in the end, the final analysis has to have achieved that result. The appraiser should get all the information. The end result should be an appraisal based upon that principle.
Further discussion, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Mr. Vice President, I guess all related to the body of the transaction that we had back in the 80s when the Edgewood pipeline was being proposed. At that time, Mr. Vice President, they gave us basically $50,000 for 3 miles of easement, and it amounted to somewhere around $1,400 an acre. The negotiations kind of went like this. Is that right out of the bat that, yes, there's imminent domain and some of the folks up north of you are in the business of exercising it, and it might take them several years before they get their money. And so we said, okay, how do we figure out how do we get ours? And we went through a process, and we determined what that was. And at that point in time, that $1,400 an acre is a reasonable price. But I know that. But if we pass this amendment and we keep going down the same road, and if I get to a situation where I have a company that comes in and they offer me $400 an acre and it's imminent domain and that's the way it is. And here we are 30, 40 years down the road and they're offering me a third of what I got in the Middle Ages. And I can't go to court and say, oh, gosh, 30 years ago, I got almost $1,400. I'm barred from doing that if we keep going down this road. And Mr. Vice President, that's just patently unfair because I know that. But I can't let anybody in the jury and I can't let the judge know that if we keep going down this road. And it's the wrong thing to do, Mr. Vice President. It's just the difference between right and wrong. Fair and unfair, and if we keep going down this road, we're going down the wrong road.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
President, speaking of division, to me, talking about muddy in the road, that's what we're doing. We're talking about willing buyers and willing sellers, and if that's what we had, we wouldn't be discussing this bill. This is a bill where you do not have willing sellers. You have one party that wants the property. And so to add all this willing buyer, willing seller language to me just muddy up more because, like I said, if we had a willing seller, we would not even be discussing this.
Continued discussion on second division, Senator Roth.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I'm going to speak on this, and this will probably be my last time to speak because I think it pertains to what the balance of the amendment also. But folks, Judiciary Committee gets this bill, and of course we're newcomers to the bill, and what happens is the testimony comes in, about 704, and I told you yesterday this was the most contentious portion of the bill. And I'm going to tell you that it kind of dumbfounded me, the testimony, particularly from industry, and they were the coalition, but made up predominantly 98% industry. And basically what they came in and they told the committee, and they told us was, you can't have all this comparable stuff, and you can't have this all in 704, because if you do, we're going to pay less. Now, when in your lifetime in the legislature have you ever heard industry come in and tell us, geez, you should vote against this, you've got to take this out because we're going to pay less? I'm sorry, it just does not pass the smell test for me.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I'm rising actually on and against this division for a couple reasons. One is, if we go back and review where we are in the bill now, in 126.704, which is on page 12 of the bill, where we are now with the division we just had, C is now gone. What we're left with now is A, which is the appraisal, B, which is the price paid for other comparable easements or leases of comparable type, price, and location, and this is the really important part, on the same property. So we're talking about identical property, identical transactions that happened on the same property. C is now gone. If we switch over to B, which will be the new C, but I don't want to say that because I don't want to confuse you. The values paid for transactions of comparable size, type, and location by other companies in arm's-length transactions, which to me already means that there is some element of willing buyer and willing seller in there. Arm's-length simply somebody's not related, so it's an unrelated party. For comparable transactions on the same property, I personally don't think that there's anything wrong with looking at the information and comparable that happened on the exact same property. For exactly the reasons we talked about, the good senator from Goshen County just indicated. I mean, what he paid for the same transaction, the same property a number of years ago, he knows this, it certainly ought to be, he's taking it into consideration already. And so what you'll have is, I think that just makes a lot of sense that you certainly should be able to talk about it, and I don't know how you get more comparable than transactions around the same property. So I would... I urge you to vote no on this particular division for those reasons. Yeah. Also, I did want to also clarify on the eminent domain coalition members. Certainly, there were more industry on the coalition than there were agricultural interests, but there were a number of associations who represent agricultural interests. And some of the major ones, numbering 1, 2, 3, 5, or 6 on here. So it wasn't just a pure industry coalition. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion on the second division? Seeing none, the clerk will please call the roll on division 2.
Anderson?
No.
Allman? Barrasso? Burns? Case? Coe, Cooper, Zakaria, Speck, Geis, Castor, Hines, Jennings, Job, Johnson, Larson, Massey, Meyer, Moffler, Nicholas, Peck excused, Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Ross,
no.
Scott,
no.
Sessions,
no.
Townsend,
no.
Vasey,
no.
Von Flater,
no.
President Schiffer,
no.
Closing vote, closing, vote closed, 6 ayes, 23 noes. One excused.
That for division number 2 of the amendment has failed. That puts us back on the amendment with the final division, division number 3. Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, I'd like to say that it was signed by withdrawing this division.
That division being withdrawn, then we are now
back on the bill. Further discussion in regards to the bill. Seeing no further discussion on the bill, House Bill 124 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it's so ordered.
Members of the Senate, I'd like you to join me in making welcome ex-Senator Simpson from the Park County area. Please make him welcome, Senator Simpson.
I was surprised that Hank Coe didn't come up to introduce me. I was rather shocked. But, you know, he is my senator, and he's very difficult to deal with. I just want to say thanks for what you do. I came to see my little boy. I was sent here by his mother. And he's lost his voice, and I'll have to go over there in a few minutes and grapple with them, and I just was thinking that when I was in the House here 13 years, I thought what a terrible body this was over here. There was a group that had the ritualistic behavior of, when in doubt, vote no. I see that's still here. And then, of course, when I got in the upper body in the U.S. Senate, I took back what I had said, that the seniority system was much like a septic tank. All the big clumps rose to the top. That was not a good thing to say, especially when I got to the Senate and they found out I had said it. Well, anyway, thanks to you. It's a tough job. It's a contact sport. You got people who have no idea what you're doing, but they think they know everything, and they're out there. And they are the critics. And the critic is a person who has nothing on the line at all. Nothing. They are a creature of something not their own. And they love to bitch and whine and snort and pretend that they're constructive. And it's for you to winnow through that. And you do a beautiful job, and it's the toughest part of it all, especially when your friends come that you haven't seen for a long time. The best man at your wedding is suddenly standing in the lobby, and you're wondering, why is he here? And soon you find out, and then your roommate at the university is here. Well, what are you doing here? Well, just wanted to visit with you a minute, Al, you know. And it's a fascinating business. But let me give you finally I am going to get out of here, John. The definition of politics. Here it is. There'll be no test on this. In politics, there are no right answers. Only a continual flow of compromises among groups, resulting in a changing, cloudy, and ambiguous series of public decisions where appetite and ambition compete openly with knowledge and wisdom. And that's it. I have crafted that statement, told my students if anyone could find that anyone but me had said it, I would give tickets to the Rockies or the Broncos or the Boston Red Sox. No one has challenged that definition. Even you, Senator Cole, And so I'm going to leave you here to get ready for the funnest part of legislating, the conference committees, which are done in such quiet and beautiful surroundings without the public knowing what the hell you're doing. It's the most fascinating part of the process, and tempers are suddenly strained somewhat, especially if we would wait down there and they'd say, well, what are they doing? They're just sitting there. They go home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then they ship us this garbage and tell us to either take it or leave it. We'll show them. We'd throw a dead chicken in through the door, you know, and run out. I see they're still doing that. Only they've got roosters giving eggs. Well, enough of that. So enjoy your last hours of days of conference committees and do the right thing. And let me just tell you, you're special people because you've laid yourself on the line. And that makes you very distinctly different from everybody else in the state. And it matters not what party, Democrat or Republican. I was in the minority here in my first session. Walter Phelan of Cheyenne was the speaker. And I learned more in the minority than I ever learned in the majority. And that's how to make things work. So I admire those in both parties, and I commend you, and good luck, and God bless you. Thank you, President.
After reports, I move to the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m.
Senator Nicholas.
I know the motion was made, but if I could oppose the next bill, I have an amendment, and I think at 2 p.m. I'm not going to be here. I suppose we're going to have to do one more bill and just get that amendment out of the way. 25. I can pose. I know we've got a schedule to keep. Well, actually, we haven't done that. Never mind. We haven't done the report, so. Doesn't make any difference.
Senator, we've got to read in the report and then go through the poor conference committee a third reading.
Yeah, we're going to.
So you'll be here anyway.
Either way, I'm going to be here, I guess.
Yep. Just relax. The motion is that the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m. Senator Zion.
The Conference Committee on Message 383, House Bill 27, will meet at noon to see if we can work out the difference. And that's just good.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 12, Rules and Procedures, will meet tomorrow, Thursday, February 22nd, at 1 p.m. next door to go over House Bill 219, the Revisers Bill.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet this afternoon on adjournment in H-8 with the House Judiciary Committee to consider interim topics, 15 minutes upon adjournment. And right prior to that, we'll do the conference committee on House Bill 21, Income Withholding Order.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning in S-14 to discuss House Bill 260 and growth, athletic trainers, licensure, And then at 9 a.m., we will join hands and march single file down to the other end of the Capitol to meet at H-10 with the House Travel Committee to discuss interim topics.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 9, Mineral Business and Economic Development, will meet at 10 minutes after 12 to discuss in S-18 to discuss House Bill 301 in growth, Clean Coal Technology 2, House Bill 277 in growth, Surveyors and Engineers, and House Bill 270, Construction Contract Residency Requirement. And if necessary, Mr. Chairman, we will continue on the journey.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Senate Appropriations Committee is going to meet as soon as they can get a bite to eat, so probably 12:05 or so, to consider House Bill 182, Teacher Shortage Loan Repayment Program, House Bill 23 in growth, Wyoming Boxing Commissioner, and House Bill 320 in growth, Wyoming Health Information Organization pilot. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, a reminder that the majority party will caucus at 1 o'clock in room 19.
Senator Matthews.
Mr. President, also likewise, the minority party will be meeting in the clubhouse at 1 o'clock to go over confirmation list.
Further announcements. The motion is for the Senate to be in recess until 2 p.m. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, nay. The Senate is in recess until 2 p.m.